You know, sir, zombie takeout is not only morally repulsive, but I believe it carries a rather stiff penalty in these parts. Hello, and welcome to Zombie Takeout, the B-movie and cult movie show. I'm John.
And I'm Scotto.
And before we get to this week's movie, a little bit of news, I guess. Well, first off, I saw the Pacific Rim movies over the weekend.
Really?
I saw the first one years ago. Probably 2 or 3 years ago. And I was not happy with it. But I decided to give them another shot. Liked them more this time. I wasn't really paying attention the first time. And I thought that there was a romantic subplot that there wasn't.
Have you seen the Transformer movies too?
I've seen the first one or two. Pacific Rim is a lot better.
I was gonna say, how does Pacific Rim?
Pacific Rim is a lot better. The first one is Del Toro.
Okay.
So, you know, it's got to be better. The thing you got to bear in mind going in is they are big mindless action movies, but they're Del Toro big mindless action movies.
All right.
He made a kaiju movie with he basically made giant robot anime with kaiju on film. First one's really good if you go in with that. There's some cheese, but it's good cheese. Second one's not quite as good, but still entertaining. Now on to the main event, the real thing to talk about before we get started this week. Thanks to Danny Meeks for this one. He let us know on Twitter about a new Neil Breen movie that's coming out.
All right, so how are we going to time this?
Yeah, actually, I'll explain it after you watch the trailer. Scott's going to watch the trailer. I've already seen it a few times. And I'm going to cue you, so click the link.
All right.
It's not going to autoplay.
Link or should. Just click.
And while you're doing this, I'll mention that the link is down in the description, so if you want to watch it with Scott and laugh along with him to know exactly what he's reacting to, cue it up.
All right, so I've got play button here.
It's all queued up. Now, Scott and whoever wants to laugh along with him, start it now. And we'll say something because the camera's not on you.
So. Right. So, oh God, oh no,
there are two of them.
Oh no, why would he do this? What? He looks like Tom Jones.
A little bit, yeah.
Wow. That is... I still hear the Gary Shandling show theme every time I see him.
yeah, definitely.
Oh, no.
It's kind of a long trailer, so stop it whenever.
Of course it is.
For those who may not be watching,
oh, look at the beard!
Yeah. Oh yeah, the beard. He couldn't grow out his own beard.
The evil twin.
And those wonderful special effects.
Okay. He can't act. And different split screen.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Those effects. He gets to play a bad guy for a change?
Here's a synopsis for those who didn't watch the trailer, or in case you still want one. Identical twin brothers become hybrid AI, artificial intelligence entities, yet are torn in between different directions.
Explosions are just amazing.
Yet are torn in between different directions to achieve justice for humanity. And yes, Breen plays both of the twins. That shot where the windows are blowing out in the building had to be stock footage that he bought somewhere. He didn't set up that effect.
Well, right. It was just the demolition of a building. Mm-hmm. And he green screened himself
Yeah. He just threw some
explosions.
Yeah, explosions.
Why would you put this in your trailer?
No, there isn't a release date that I could find, so we're going to have to wait for this one. But it will, judging from the trailer, it is absolutely worth it.
I like how he has to explain metaverse and then, you know.
Yeah, we're living in a we're going to live in a virtual universe. And apparently there's evil AI or evil VR, sorry. That some woman is handing him. It's a physical thing, a little blue light.
I don't know. It puts this movie into perspective this week, doesn't it?
Oh yeah, it does. It does, absolutely.
It does. I mean, amateurs in bad movies almost.
He's really the Coppola of bad movies.
Yeah, that's just amazing. It just keeps going. Like, where is that explosion coming from, though?
And it really brings up the same question we had about Wiseau. Does he do it intentionally?
I don't think Wiseau did it intentionally. Uh-huh. I really don't. I think he seriously thought he was making a great film.
Right, yeah.
I mean, the guys for the movie this week, obviously.
Yeah, they knew.
They knew what they were making. And I think this guy does, too.
Breen knows what he's doing, you think?
I think so.
Yeah, he's got to be in on that.
Nobody could be making explosions and effects that badly. And then putting it in the trailer, too. You know, not even just like it's in the movie, you know, whatever. He's advertising, look, I green screen, I CGI myself flying across the screen. What's that? He does it multiple times.
And he didn't even grow an actual beard.
No.
He used this cheesy thick beard.
The Halloween costume, you know, beard.
All right, so hopefully it won't be long before we can review that one.
All right. We have to. All right. We have to do another one of his soon, yeah, anyway.
Soon we'll be doing, I think, Pass Through is on the list.
Okay.
Coming up soon. And that brings us to this week's movie, which is from 1987, Deathstalker 2. And, of course, the impromptu plot summary, sponsored by George McDonald, who would like it to be known that he never intended for this.
And also brought to you by Sorcery. Why use it when you could have a complicated sword fight?
Budget, I would suspect. They already had the swords.
Budget, yeah. I mean, you don't want
CG explosions, yeah.
You don't want to CGI a guy flying across the screen. Right. All right, so what can you say about this movie? To sum it up, all right, so the hero escapes in the very beginning from the evil, I guess she was a swordswoman. I don't think she was a sorceress. No. He runs into a princess who's not a princess, but really a princess.
Claiming to be a seer.
Yes, claiming to be a seer. Who cons Stalker into...
yeah, she calls him Stalker for short, which is hilarious.
She cons him into going on this quest to defeat the evil sorcerer who has removed her from her throne by creating a duplicate of her and as his princess, or as his queen, I guess. They go through a lot of weird things along the way. I'm not sure how zombies actually
work into this. Kind of random.
Yes, random zombies.
Amazons.
Yeah, then of course, well, we have to have the Amazons, which leads to a very long wrestling match. Or is it a boxing match? Because wrestling matches don't have rounds.
Kind of. I'm going to say MMA.
Oh, yeah. They invented MMA. I didn't even think of that. This was the first MMA match ever fought right here. Not the first intergender match, though. That goes to Andy Kaufman.
For the former Glow fans, it features Matilda the Hun, a.k.a. Queen Kong.
I thought she looked familiar. They apparently used a lot of wrestlers in this film, but that's another for later. So, of course, it leads us to the big confrontation at the castle, the split screen, or shall I say one passed out and one up, and then... a sword fight with the sorcerer instead of a magic battle. And hilarity ensues. Or I should say, caw!
The lightning at the very beginning of this movie kind of tipped it off, because it really reminded me of Dark Shadows.
Mm-hmm.
There's a shot of a castle with this, you know, kind of negative. It's like a negative of a shot of a castle with this lightning sound effect.
My notes say, oh yes, a thunderclap and lightning outside of a castle is how this masterpiece begins. Yeah.
I will say that the fight choreography, maybe because of all the wrestlers, wasn't horrible.
Well, right. Once you had the swords out of their hands, at least, the sword fighting is pretty bad.
It goes back and forth.
Sword fighting was very reminiscent of the Holy Grail sword fights, where he's just like holding the sword out and then doing it, kind of.
But right before we get to the credits.
But the wrestling, these guys know.
But right before we get to the opening credits, we have maybe the worst line of the film.
It could be.
He's stealing something from a castle, from some woman.
Uh-huh. From the evil swordswoman.
From the evil swordswoman. Was it the same one? Was it Tony Naples? Okay, yeah. I didn't quite remember. And he gets away and she says, I'll have my revenge and Deathstalker 2. Need I remind you that the name of the film is Deathstalker 2.
Yeah. Ooh, as if you hadn't figured out what you're about to watch.
It's bad enough when Doctor Who pulls that gag every season.
That's right.
But this movie just is even worse.
But in the 50 something years of Doctor Who, I think they've only pulled it a few times that I know of.
It seems like, at least in the reboot, that they do it every season.
Yeah, I think especially Moffat did it a couple times.
Now, maybe it's expectation management, but this one was slightly better for me than the first one.
Really?
I enjoyed it a bit more. Maybe I think all of the anachronisms kind of cracked me up, and I enjoyed the wrestling, but we'll get
right
to that. Just on to that tavern scene. The music just kind of kicked in, made it really feel like a musical number.
Oh, of course. There's there's a few things. I mean, you have a lot of fights where bad guys wear masks. I mean, for no apparent reason, of course, other than they only have a few bad guys on hand.
Right, and they just exactly
use the same fuckers. I mean, if you're in somebody's castle, why would your guards wear masks?
Right.
But yeah, the barroom scene where you have more of those same bad guys.
And there's this bar fight, of course, with this flute music behind it, which was hilarious. And these, like, obviously foam walls.
Oh, yes. Flute music and titty dancers.
Although, in 87, I have to ask, couldn't they have just bought Gamorrean guard costumes? They would have looked a lot better than the hobbled together pig guy costumes in the movie. I'm sure they could have gotten the actual ones from Lucas for cheap.
They probably could have. Well, who knows? Lucas knows how to merchandise, so I don't think he sells anything cheap.
Fair point. But, you know, the tavern fight goes on a bit too long. And then, he escapes and rescues the seer, a.k.a. the princess, Monique Gabrielle's part. Monique Gabrielle, by the way, was in two roles in this movie.
Oh, yes.
Why?
Equal acting ability for both.
Yeah.
She makes Kate Capshaw from Indiana Jones yeah. looked like Meryl Streep. Mm-hmm. Honestly, she's like Kate Capshaw and Short Round combined, I think.
There's a scene with her and Tony Naples. And Tony Naples was in Sorceress last week. Known for a lot of B-movies and kind of right. stand-up movies. She makes Tony Naples look like a good actor.
Oh, yeah. Totally.
And she has another one of the horrible movie lines in this movie. Deathstalker says he claims to be the king of thieves, and he says you have to get up pretty early in the morning to get one over on him. Oh, you know, cliche line. They get caught, and she says, "Well, it is pretty early in the morning."
There's a lot of lines where you're just like, "All right, why are they doing this to us?"
I do have to appreciate the anachronisms, though. They had mud wrestling.
They had that in the first one too, didn't they?
I don't remember. I've repressed the first one.
I think they did. Okay. But I think that barroom fight is very similar to one of the first one, if I'm not mistaken.
They also reference Prussia, Genghis Khan, Ivan the Terrible, and Attila the Hun.
Right.
Apparently they exist in this universe, even though there's a line at the end where the princess says, "In 1,000 years, players will reenact our exploits."
They're referring to
the movie itself, of course. Yeah. Yeah. So apparently the movie took place 1,000 years ago, even though Prussia, Genghis Khan, Ivan the Terrible, and Attila the Hun existed.
Yep.
And throwing stars. And I love that he landed one about an inch into one of the mercenaries' heads.
He shot it from a cannon, maybe.
And there are these explosive arrows with these round tips, silver round tips. Apparently, they also had C4 1,000 years ago. And they explode like a split second after they're shot. An RPG wouldn't even explode that quickly.
Now, let's not let John Terleski off the hook here. Because, I mean, I honestly think Schwarzenegger, even though he couldn't speak English in Conan, was a better actor than John Terleski.
And John Terleski replaced Rick Hill from the first movie. I don't know who was worse.
That's really tough to say. But, honestly, none of these guys were in this for, you know, the performance.
And I will say that John Terleski has gone on to become a director and is very prolific on some very successful shows.
I did notice that he has a lot of director credits since this.
Owing to the low-cost production and the perceived self-awareness of the movie, director Jim Wynorski called the film an anachronistic comedy of sorts and also said that we kind of did our version of It Happened One Night.
Okay.
Now, and apparently the original script, according to Wynorski, was terrible, so he rewrote it with Terleski and frequent contributor or collaborator R.J. Robertson.
I thought I saw that originally it was supposed to be a more serious movie.
Yeah, that's what I'd heard or read too, and yeah, I'm kind of curious. Similarly, you know, when something is this bad, I'm curious how much worse it could have been.
Right. It probably would have been even worse if it was serious. It probably would have been, you know, the Wizzo comparisons would have been accurate.
More direct, yeah.
I think they just figured nobody can act this well anyway, and we don't really have the budget for good effects. Right. So let's just make fun. This. We have a South American vacation. It's pretty much the precursor of Adam Sandler movies, really.
Yeah, basically.
What this comes down to.
Yeah, it is also referencing South America. This was the last sword and sorcery movie that Roger Corman, this is a Roger Corman movie, made in Argentina during the 80s. Now, if it was more serious, we wouldn't have had the wrestling match. And I did enjoy that part.
It went on too long, though.
But it was fun for a while. It was nice to see Queen Kong. And I will say that, you know, when I got to that point, I was very close to borrow a phrase from someone on Google Plus, meh quitting. Kind of like rage quitting, but you don't care that nearly as much.
Meh quitting.
But the wrestling match was fun. At that point, it was two brains for me. And if the movie had ended, I would give it a two. but it kept going.
I think they had two jokes that might have landed in this. I think they made a Grail reference.
Okay, yeah.
I skipped when the henchman went to contact the sorcerer. He put a dime, like he was activating a payphone.
I didn't catch that.
He goes, "So let me go call." I forget the sorcerer's name.
Like intentionally, like it was in the script to put a dime in.
I think so. He brings out some coins from his pocket and drops them in the lake, and that's what kind of creates the. He goes, "Let me go call him," and he takes.
That added a half a brain. I just added 0.5 to my rating.
And then, of course, the Grail reference of when he leaves, and she just says, "Shit."
Yeah.
Just like Carol Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
But now, that's two jokes
yeah.
in and a very a long movie.
Yeah.
It's now, an hour and a half of your life.
I was wondering why the Amazon Queen was trying to hook up with Deathstalker after he wouldn't kill Queen Kong in a wrestling match. Because, you know, it was a fight to the death. And, you know, it's that old cliche of, you know, of showing them mercy in a fight to the death.
Right.
And I thought she was going to turn out to be another double working for the sorcerer.
Right.
But then they just went with a cheap marriage joke. I was so disappointed. I did like that the sorcerer, I think it was a sorcerer. Yes, had to do like this Sprockets-esque dance under strobe lights to Rez Sultana.
What's that? That's the weirdest thing.
And when I saw Deathstalker under the swinging blade, I automatically thought to myself, "No, Mr. Stalker, I expect you to die."
They actually did that.
Yeah. They actually used the line.
The Goldfinger reference.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was not a fan of the Goldfinger reference.
I was fine when it was me joking around to myself, but then right. they actually fucking said it. And the bloopers weren't even funny.
No, very boring bloopers. And Gabrielle Monique in like as the good person, she looked like
Monique Gabrielle.
She looked like Jack McBrayer with the wig on at times, I thought. Okay. Just not, you know.
At least they didn't set up another sequel.
Yeah, they did.
They did? How did they set up a sequel?
The evil sword woman left.
I didn't see that.
She made "I'm getting out of here," and he's the and Jarek the sorcerer is like, "You owe us your life."
Oh, I didn't see that as a setup to a sequel.
Of course it was, though.
Well, fortunately, on to sequels and remakes, because I think we've been through the entire movie now. I haven't heard anything about a third. I think there are just the two.
I thought there was a third.
I didn't see anything about it on IMDb.
I'm shocked. There's I see a fourth one here.
Oh god.
Yeah, Deathstalker and the Warriors from Hell in 88, and then Deathstalker 4 in 91.
Trolisky?
No, all different people.
That's kind of amusing.
Of course. Yeah, I was going to say, this went on for a while.
Oh, wow.
John Allen, someone named John Allen Nelson.
Okay, it sounds familiar. One of those random, you know, blonde, you know, B-movie action guys. Kind of like John Trotsky.
I think he was 24 and Crisis, and he's on Crazy Ex-Girlfriend now.
Okay.
And then 4...
Isn't it great when we Google things on the show?
Yeah. And then 4, Match of the Titans.
Okay. Match of the Titans as opposed to
the Clash.
So they don't just fight, they evenly match each other, I guess.
Someone named Rick Hill.
That also sounds familiar, again, random B-movie guy that I've probably seen in a billion roles.
Is that the Phoenix guy? No, I can't.
No, that was just Scott.
He's too old. He'd be too old for that.
Judson Scott was the Phoenix.
Okay.
He was in Khan. As well as the Phoenix, of course. So yeah, two sequels apparently. We're not reviewing them. I'm just going to say that now.
All right, sure.
I say that now, but we probably said we wouldn't review two back when we reviewed one 4 years ago. So,
well, I mean, this, I mean, in my head, before we started the show, was one of the worst movies of all time, definitely. After the horrors that we've seen,
yeah,
it's not so much.
And some management on the brains. I enjoyed the wrestling match. I kind of got a kick out of all the anachronisms. And you just pointed out the coin bit, which added a half a brain. But overall, it just went on too damn long. I'm going 1.5.
If not for nothing, though, this has to be the worst scored movie we've ever seen.
It's all like 80s synth pop.
I mean, we've seen new movies scored with 80s synth pop, but we've never... This has to be the worst. Yeah. That whole caw for every like moment,
mm-hmm.
and between her and just the stalker. Oh my god, that will haunt your dreams.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll give it a whole brain.
All right, and what have we learned?
Makeup equals evil.
And I learned that the wind screams Wilhelm.
Like the wind cries Mary.
It's kind of a triple reference.
Huh? Yeah.
And that's it for Deathstalker 2 and hopefully this franchise. If you enjoyed this video, please give it a like and subscribe if you haven't. Until next time, we'll be reviewing The God Inside My Ear. This is the second movie we've been sent a review copy for.
Nice.
PG being the first one. Until then, always remember, never forget, wherever you go in life,
there you are. Thank you.